Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. One day, everything was normal. People could enjoy their lives, their liberties. What reason did they have to fear, of all things, a flood? Rain had never even fallen on the earth, let alone the kind of rain that could flood everything. No one could even imagine such an event. A flood that could destroy homes and put everyone to death. One day, it seemed normal and logical to mock that lunatic Noah and his family of religious fanatics for building an enormous ark. One day the ground was dry and the world was safe. The next, the skies opened for the very first time and let forth torrents of rain. One day everyone was alive and happy. The next, every human being, save eight in that ark, was drowned to death. One day, sin was fun and comfortable. The next day, it meant absolute certain death. One day, things were normal in Sodom. People could enjoy their vices. What reason did they have to fear fire and brimstone raining down from the skies? Fire and brimstone had never fallen from heaven before, let alone fallen to destroy entire cities. One day it seemed normal and logical to harass righteous Lot and his family of religious lunatics for refusing to engage in this citywide debauchery, our party. The next day, fire and sulfur rained down on Sodom and Gomorrah, burning them to the ground. One day, everyone was safe and secure in Sodom. The next day, everyone, except those who had been ushered to the hills by their angelic visitors, was dead, burned to death. One day sin was fun and comfortable. The next day, it meant death. One day things are normal in the world. People can enjoy their lives. They can eat and drink and be merry as long as they like. What reason do they have to fear of the skies being torn open and God the righteous judge descending from heaven with a blast of a trumpet and an angelic army all around him? Such a thing has never happened. It seems preposterous to believe that it will. One day, it is popular and in vogue and indeed logical to ridicule those who make faith a priority, to belittle prayer as a solution to tragedy and a curb to human evil. One day it is important to get as much sleep on Sunday mornings as possible. One day it is convenient to live your life as you see fit. One day the arrogant and the evildoers have all the fun. And the next, they are set ablaze. One day, everything is as it has been for thousands of years. The next day, the sun is black, the moon is blood red, and the stars fall from the skies as the Lord who made them returns. One day, sin is comfortable and fun. The next day, it means eternal death. Watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth, but stay awake at all times. This is Jesus' warning to his church. Do not be like the world. The world may do whatever it wants. You may not. The world can live absolutely without regard for the word of God. You may not. The world can tend to the pleasures of the flesh, drunkenness, dissipation, worshiping goods before God, misusing the name of God and refusing to call upon him in prayer, refusing to hear the word of God on the Sabbath, despising parents and other authorities, taking care of yourself with no regard for others, having sex outside marriage, taking whatever you want, gossiping, wanting and desiring more than you have. The world can do those things. You may not. Faith will not permit you to break God's commandments willfully. Faith does the good works God has prepared for you to do. Willful sin, persistent sin, intentional sin, these are the hallmarks of faithless sleep that will find you caught as if in a trap on the last day. Sin is deadly serious. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming will set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. Repent now or perish eternally, the Lord Jesus warns. Jesus isn't joking. The world will end. Heaven and earth will pass away. All that will remain of this world will be his word. And you will either be condemned by that word or declared righteous by it. Jesus himself gives you the clear signs that are calls to you for repentance, distress of nations in perplexity, roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and foreboding of what is coming on the world, the powers of the heavens shaken, wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes, famines, nation rising against nation. Every word of people in fear, every depressing newscast, every gloomy headline is a call to repent. How do you know when the day is near? Look at the tree. In the winter, the tree looks dead. But as winter draws to a close, buds come out on the tree. And you know by the presence of buds and eventually leaves that summer is near. Jesus tells you, look at the tree. The tree of life in the Garden of Eden, once the sign of the eternal summer of God's good creation, grew lifeless and dead. Then on the dead wood of the tree of life was nailed the Son of God. As he died, the sun went black, the earth shook. There was fear and foreboding of what was coming on the world. But then from the tree of death, the tree of the curse, the tree of the very death of God, comes the fruit of the forgiveness of sins and the fruit of faith. When the otherwise dead tree of the cross bears the fruit of faith, you know that the return of Jesus is near. The tree is coming out in leaf. The branch of the Lord's cross is tender. The tree is bearing fruit, producing faith wherever the cross of Christ is preached. The summer of the new Eden is near. The wicked, those who do not belong to Christ, will be set ablaze. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness, Jesus promises, shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall burst forth leaping from the stall like calves in the spring. The day is near, Jesus says. Very near. The signs are everywhere. Hang in there. Now, not later, is the day for repentance. Today is the day for God's mercy. As long as you retain the Lord's gift of faith, you need not fear the day of the return of Christ. Moreover, with his gift of faith, the day of Christ's return is a day for you to look forward to anticipate. With his gift of faith, with his ongoing forgiveness of sins in his church, this is not the day of your damnation, but the day of your salvation. When these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. When you see all of these or any of these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of Satan is in its twilight. The kingdom of God is near. The day of your deliverance from the world, from temptation, from sickness, from every affliction, from pain and persecution, from sadness and mourning is near. The kingdom of God is near. The return of Jesus is near. It is so near that you can touch it, that you can taste it. Indeed, the kingdom of God comes to you in the Lord's Holy Supper today. In the body and blood of Jesus, present on the altar, placed into your mouth, is the guarantee that when Jesus returns, that day will be the day of your salvation and not the day of your damnation. As certainly as the Lord Jesus comes to you this morning, week after week, in real bread and wine, with his real body and blood, to deliver to you what you cannot obtain anywhere else in the world, his forgiveness of sins, his promise of eternal life. As certainly as he comes to you today for your good, he will come to you when the heavens are rent open for your good. He is returning for you, his beloved. Lift up your heads. The day of your redemption is near. The Sun of Righteousness rises upon you this morning. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.